we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program again here. This is Wednesday, June the 27th, and we are thankful to be on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour today. We have the privilege of representing Jesus in this community. Not just me. That's all born-again believers, and so we encourage you today to light up your world for the glory of God. Today we want to start off by saying thank you to the folks at JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And in all honesty, they did some work for us here not too long ago. Was having a conversation with one of the personnel involved in the process, and they were talking about a job that was not done by JITS Concrete, and how the job wasn't done correctly, and the complicated process that was involved in rectifying that situation. And as they were talking about that story, I was not actively involved in the labor process at this point in time. I'd done some of the prep work before JITS Concrete showed up onto the scene. But at that point in time, I was like, you know what? I'm thankful that I've got people who are knowing what they were doing. And so I was out there, and I'm of the persuasion, you know what? I'm not going to walk on it until they tell me I can walk on it. And so I did a little bit of contortion work to try and get some material that they saw that said, you know what, we could use that right over there. And so I did a little bit of stretching and creative leveraging to be able to get into where I needed to be. But I'm thankful for the expertise of Greg and Horace at JITS Concrete. 321-536-5804. If you want somebody who will do the job right, give them a call. Now listen, what they were telling me is that there is so much construction that is going on right now that they can literally do what they need to get done, but then they have to wait for the concrete company to say, okay, this is the day that we can deliver that. So if you think that you've got a project that is coming up in the weeks ahead, I encourage you to go ahead and call the contractor now, 321-536-5804, JITS Concrete, and get them to come out, take a look at your job. And listen, hard working guys, they were busting it. They really were busting it to get it done. Ours was not a really large project, but they were doing a job the very next day that was a much larger project than what ours was. And they'll do a great job for you. I encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. We're going to go to the book of Psalms today. We're talking about being the light of the world, what light does for us. I'm very thankful for light. It is one of the essential ingredients of life. As you go deeper into water, there is a place, a certain depth that you will get to where light will not reach that far down there. And at that point in time, the type of light that type of life that exists below that level is much different than the type of life that exists where light can permeate. We need light. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about the process of light. How do we get to more light into our life so that we can represent God well? So today I'm going to read Psalm 4 to you. Psalm 4, it's a psalm of David. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So I want to set the stage a little bit before we get into the discussion about light and verse number 2 begins with a question. It says, "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame?" That is a tremendously rampant theme in our modern society, where the things that are glorious to God are now offensive to men, and it just continues to permeate further and further into society. When we talk about something that is glorious, it is something that is to be attractive. And then when we talk about things that are shameful, those are things that people don't like to talk about. Those are things that people like to suppress. They don't like to bring out into the open. And here it says that there is a social epidemic of transforming the glory of God into something that is considered shameful. And God said, how long are you going to do that? How long are you going to do that? Can I just ask a question? Do we really, truly believe that life without God, without God's word, without God's people, without God's influence, without God's laws, do we truly believe that that quality of life is going to be a better quality of life? I tell you, the answer is an absolute no. Life without God is not better. Life without God is hellish. It is absolutely wretched and miserable. It is not in the best interest of people. It may be in the best interest of some despotic people, but it will never be in the best interest of God's people. And he says, how long will you love worthlessness? I don't know about you, but when God starts asking questions, there are some places in the scripture where people of God are told, well, you've asked a hard question. And that's an entire sermon series in itself. But when God starts asking questions, those are some challenging, thought-provoking questions. And when he says, how long will you love worthlessness? That ought to be a very sobering question. So if nothing else, I mean, I'm not going to be able to be on the Refresh radio program and bring you just a lot of things that will make you feel good. My job is to, my privilege, my responsibility is to bring refreshing truth your way. And God says, how long are you going to love things that have no value? The world spends its time chasing things that are not valuable. Jesus said this, it is expedient for you, it is profitable for you, it's in your best interest that I do what I do. It didn't necessarily mean that everybody was going to always be happy about it, but it was going to be in their best interest. And here the question is, how long will you continue to, and this is the word, love worthlessness? God has created you as a priceless treasure, and the devil is always trying to convince people of how little value they actually have. When people are convinced that they are worthless, don't be surprised when their behavior starts representing that mindset that society has tried to instill in them. For Father's Day, if I can, I'm going to turn over here away from Psalms for just a minute. Just hold your finger right there. For Father's Day, I was preaching out of Proverbs chapter 20, and I'm going to find it here before long. Proverbs chapter 20, and I was talking about don't lose your man card. In verse number 5, it says this, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And I was challenging our congregation that every person that we run into was created by God on purpose for his purpose. Not everyone has embraced it yet. Not everyone understands that. And yet our responsibility, our privilege as fathers, our privilege as pastors, is to get to know people and begin to draw out that purpose, that divine purpose that God has placed inside of them, that godly gift that is been that they have been endowed with, to help them to discover and utilize that gift for the glory of God. It's so easy to tell people how worthless they are. It is a tremendous privilege to help people discover how valuable they are. So if you want to see a change in your lifestyle, analyze and assess the things that you've embraced. Find out how many of those things need to be reprioritized. Some things are going to need to be placed on lower priority. Others need to be elevated. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So don't love worth. He says, how long will you seek falsehood? Okay. How long are you going to be looking for things that are not true? That's called time wasters. It literally steals you of your energy and your resources that you could be devoting to discovering the truth of God's word and the truth of what he has for you. I tell people that it's not the things that I did in high school that I have to repent of. It's the things that I didn't do in high school. There were things that I should have been doing for God, and I didn't make a high enough priority about it. If you want people to be real with you, then you need to be real with God. You need to be true. You need to be people of truth, love the truth. And he says, know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. And so when you and I say yes to God, we are going to be set apart for God himself. That's not something to be ashamed of. That's a mark of distinction. He said, I love this. Someone needs to hear this today. The Lord will hear when I call to him. I was watching a video one time. Let's see if I can remember what his name is. Francis Chan, maybe. I think is his name. I was watching this video, and some people came up and started trying to talk to this guy about some truths that weren't true. And so they began to engage him in a conversation, and he began to engage them in their conversation, and said something about, well, God doesn't hear all of our prayers. And he said, you know what? That is true. God does not hear everybody's prayers, and that is a scriptural truth. He says, but he hears mine. And I want you to know today that when you are set apart for the purpose of God, when you and I are reserved, we are no longer viewing ourselves as worthless. We are viewing ourselves as priceless, set apart, sanctified for the glory of God, that when we cry out to God, he's going to hear us when we pray. He goes on and he's talking about the preparation. Says, "Be angry, but don't sin." The part about being angry, that's easy. The part about not sinning, not so easy. He says, "Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." And you know, we are really, really good at filling our lives with distractions. What do you think life would be like if our world got a little simpler and we spent much more time focused on the Word of God? Now, by the way, I just, every time I see this word meditate, I need to point this out, because there may be some old hippies out there that you're familiar with Eastern meditation or transcendental meditation. And that is not what is talked about in the Bible. Transcendental meditation is all about creating a void and a vacuum in your mind, getting it to where you are not thinking about anything, and opening yourself up to whatever lies the enemy wants to pour into you. That's what transcendental meditation and Eastern meditation is about. Biblical meditation is where you are focusing your mind on the Word of God and on the God of His Word, and you are intentionally filling yourself up with the truth of God's Word. There is a huge difference between the two concepts. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Remember, this is all the setup. This is all of the preparation for us to fulfill verse number 6. There are many who say, who will show us any good? And the psalmist answers, David answers here, and he says this, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. So he says, who will show us any good? And David says, God, do it through me. May they, when they look at me, may they see you. I don't want them to look at you and see me. I want them to look at me and see you. You know, Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Everything was all about, you know, keep your eyes on him. That's the person up there that we're following. His name is Jesus. And so when people said, who is going to show us anything good? Tragedy befalls a world, there's a lot of things that people quit arguing about. And at that point in time, they want to say, okay, where is the good in this situation? And David said, God, shine your light upon me. I pray that my countenance would reflect the goodness of God. And I pray that all of the, how does he do that? He says in verse number 7, this is the process. You have put gladness in my heart. On a broadcast yesterday, we were talking about that it is with the works that we do. Lord, let me take it back to Matthew chapter 5. where it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Our works light up the community so that people see the goodness of God. But one of the other ways is when they are desperately looking for goodness, when they are looking for righteousness, when they are looking for relief, one of the ways that they see it in us is because God has made a deposit of gladness in our heart. Have you ever seen a person that was just thrilled to be a child of God? They were just ecstatic to be alive. You probably have not seen as many of those as you have people that are mad at the world about every little thing. Listen, when God takes sin out of our life, he doesn't want to create a vacuum. He wants to fill it up. And one of the things that he wants to do is put gladness in our hearts. Would it be okay if God made your demeanor and your personality, my personality, a much more pleasant personality? I think that when we're glad because of what God has put inside of us, then we realize, hey, what he put in me, he can put that in you too. He goes on and he says, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. Listen, I've known some people that if you gave them $1 million, they would be complaining if you gave it to them in pennies. I don't care if you want to make a $1 million donation to Merit Assembly of God. I don't really care how, you know, we collected some money for the Agape Pregnancy Center, a ministry of First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. And that day there were a lot of coins. My bookkeeper would have been overwhelmed with all of the counting that had to be done. And so that day I said, you know what, I'm going to set myself aside to help her with the offering. And then she said, you know what, we could call some other people, and it didn't end up working out that we were able to do that because of the logistics that day. But you know, we were able to be a blessing to somebody. People in this world get really excited whenever there is prosperity that comes in their life. Now, I will tell you this, that from a spiritual perspective, Christians in America do not handle prosperity well. Prosperity means that we tend to read our Bibles less, we tend to attend church less, we tend to focus on ministry less. I'm not saying that everybody does it. I'm just saying that it is a propensity, because we tend to press into God when things are going poorly and tend to slack up when things are going well. But David here writes, God, people need to see good things going on in the children of God, and that gladness that you have placed in us, it needs to be more substantial than just a full cupboard and a full bank account. It needs to be more than just a temporal prosperity that is going on. It needs to reflect an eternal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, the devil thinks, well, I'll just send some hard times their way, and that well of gladness will dry up like a desert. And David said, no, the gladness that God puts inside of us, it's more than just financial abundance. It's a spiritual wholesomeness. He said, I'm going to both lie down in peace and I will sleep. We tend to, you know, have people who sleep too much and then people who don't sleep enough. A lot of times if I'm not sleeping, it's because of things that are going on in my head, where my brain is just running miles and miles a minute. The psalmist said, God, because of the gladness you've put in my heart, I know this. You not only had me yesterday, you have me today, and you're going to have me tomorrow. I can trust you, and I'm going to rest because you have created me to rest. He says, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Today, I want to close the broadcast here today by asking you, what's your gladness level? When you woke up this morning, did you get up on the wrong side of the bed, or did you get up on the God side of the bed? Did you get up with a song in your heart? Did the Lord cause you to hear of his loving kindness this morning? Is there a gladness inside of you because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is there a gladness that is inside of you that is going to cause people to see the countenance of the Lord upon you, because God is good and his mercy endures forever? And you know this, that you are a walking billboard for the glory of God. I want to be the type of person that people want to be around. You know what people don't want to be around? They don't want to be around people who are complaining about how badly they're being treated. They don't want to be around people who are complaining about how hard life is, how hopeless the situation seems. Listen, you and I, we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, and we have value because he has revealed our value to us. You know whether something is worthless or priceless by what someone is willing to pay for it. You have a yard sale, you put it all out there, you work hard, and you say, this is what it is worth to me. And at the end of that day, you find out that a lot of people thought that things that you deemed valuable, to them they were worthless. Other people thought that things that you thought weren't worth keeping were something that they needed in their life. Well, I know this. Jesus said, God, they are so valuable to me. They are so valuable to you. They are so valuable to your kingdom and to bringing your righteousness to this community. I'm willing to give my life for them so that they can demonstrate and reveal the goodness of God. You be light today. May God put gladness in your heart so you represent him well. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.